From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his third message in a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the closing phrase of verse 2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." As he introduces this message, Dr. Karen sets forth the various possible applications of the expression, thy word. It may refer to the Bible itself. It may be applied to the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, or it may point to the covenant word, God's faithful promises to his people. As Dr. Cairns will show, God has placed the witness of himself even in the creation, so that no man has an excuse not to know God. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to some devotional thoughts from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Repays. The text is Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. We are to give to the poor out of pity, not to be seen and applauded, much less to get influence over them, but out of pure sympathy and compassion we must give them help. We must not expect to get anything back from the poor, not even gratitude. But we should regard what we have done as a loan to the Lord. He undertakes the obligation, and if we look to him in the matter, we must not look to the second party. What an honor the Lord bestows upon us when he condescends to borrow of us! That merchant is greatly favored who has the Lord on his books. It would seem a pity to have such a name down for a paltry pittance. Let us make it a heavy amount. The next needy man that comes this way, let us help him. As for repayment, we can hardly think of it. And yet, here is the Lord's note of hand. Blessed be his name. His promise to pay is better than gold and silver. Are we running a little short through the depression of the times? We may venture humbly to present this bill at the Bank of Faith. Has any one of our listeners been a bit of a screw to the poor? Poor soul. May the Lord forgive him. listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTVS magazine. The principal focus of the January issue will be the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How do you explain unanswered prayer? And what is marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Before we turn to the text this morning, and we're going to be continuing with some messages and thoughts on the 138th Psalm, we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, a very famous passage of Scripture. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, that is, on the part of the writer, not on the part of the reader. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. Returning to Psalm 138, we come to the third study that I want us to do. We have thought already on the words, "I will praise Thee with my whole heart." We were dealing very simply with 100% Christians, wholehearted Christianity. And then we thought of the words, "I will worship toward thy holy temple." And the subject there is Christ-centered worship. And now we come to the words at the end of the second verse. The psalmist says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now that statement, as it appears in our text, has been found offensive by quite a number of Bible scholars. I have to say right away that the use to which the text has been put by some less than considerate preachers has justly given the idea that it is offensive. From the earliest times there has been a debate, therefore, on the integrity of the Hebrew text, the translation of the text, and the meaning of the text. Some people have translated it simply as saying, "Thou hast magnified thy word above every name." That presupposes that the text is corrupted, needs to be changed. And, of course, any time that anybody imagines a corruption in the text simply because they don't understand it, that's a foolish way to take. John Calvin translated it, "Thou hast magnified thy name above all things by thy word." I have to say that the more I have looked at this, the more I'm convinced that there's no ground to depart from the text as it stands, and there is no reason to quibble at the doctrine that it propounds. God's name means simply the revelation that He has given us of His being, His nature, and His character. God's name is His self-revelation to men. God's word, the word that is used here, means simply His speech, His utterance, that which comes out of His mouth. God's word in Scripture may refer to His eternal Son, the divine word. It may refer to His communication in speech to man, or as it is written down in Scripture. It may refer particularly to His promise, and more particularly even to the promise of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. In the 19th century, there was a famous Church of England preacher, a Cambridge scholar, a man who dedicated his life to the revival of evangelicalism in the moribund Church of England. His name was Charles Simeon. And Simeon, whose ministry was blessed by a considerable revival, Simeon, in his expositions of Scripture, comes to this statement. And he says, God has magnified His Word above everything whereby He has made Himself known to mortal man. He has revealed Himself in part by His works of creation and providence, but far more abundantly by His Word. And I think that Simeon hit the nail on the head. As I understand it, the doctrine of this text is that in revealing Himself to us, the Lord has magnified His Word to the premier position. He has magnified His Word above every other way of making Himself known unto men. And today I want to simply to take this truth, give it its fullest scope, as we trace the truth as it is applied to all three meanings of the term God's Word. Now, His Word, as I have noted, may refer to His inscripturated Word, the written Word, what God spoke and then wrote down for all ages. In other words, it may refer to the Bible. And referring to the Bible, this text has a great doctrine to teach, and it is that the Bible is the full and the final revelation of God to man. Now, every part of God's creation is a witness to its Maker. We have read already, and we have sung already this morning, the famous words of the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And there the basic word is the same as in our text, thus magnified thy word. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. We are told in the third verse that there's no language where their speech is not heard. You have the idea there of creation speaking. Obviously, it's a figure of speech. But you have the idea of creation speaking. But now the psalmist is speaking of something much more direct, where God is speaking not mediated through creation, but directly to men, straight from His mouth to theirs. That's what we have in the Holy Scriptures. That's the doctrine of the text. As I've said, God has never left Himself without a witness. You start at the beginning and you find throughout all creation and providence, God gave Himself a witness. Isaiah 40, verse 26, quotes the words of the Lord Himself. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power, not one faileth. In other words, the Lord Himself says, look at creation. And there you will see a witness and you will hear a witness to the power of God. Jeremiah 10 verse 12, He takes it a step further. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. So now we are told that when you look at creation, you hear, as it were, the speech of the created universe, and that not only witnesses to the power of God, but to the wisdom of God and the discretion of God. We are all familiar with Paul's words in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, that is unto all men. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So now Paul says that the eternal power and Godhead are proven and established by the creation that we see all around us and that we see within us, because we ourselves are part of that creation. There's a wonderful text at the beginning of the 75th Psalm where the psalmist says that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. So when we see the workings of God, it is a declaration not only that there is a God, not only that He's a God of power and a God of wisdom, but that He is the only God, and furthermore, that He is near. It is clear, says the psalmist, by anything that God does, and that certainly takes in the whole creation, it is clear, says the psalmist, that God intends every creature to understand that God is not some remote deity, but He is present in His creation. That is the testimony of His works. Now you will see, and I'm not going to pursue this morning, but you will see why Paul says men are without excuse. All around them there is the witness of the Creator. All around them there is a creation that is constantly speaking to them of the being and the wisdom and the power and the presence of God. And then they look within them, and there is an even more intimate and immediate witness, and it's saying the same thing, only with much greater power and persistence. Paul says they're without excuse. No man has the right or any excuse to live without reference to God. No man has any excuse to live without seeking God with all his heart, even be he a victim of the darkest heathen culture the world has ever seen. Yet there is no excuse, for in the stars above us, down to the very grubs that are in the earth beneath us, to every fiber of our own being, there is the witness that God is a God of wisdom, a God of power, and a God who is present, a God who is near. That's the witness of all God's works.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.